are capable of falling back into this behavior. If you do not concentrate fully on what Christ is doing in your life and what Christ wants to do in your life, you will not only fall back into this passivity. Some examples of negative motivations include a sense of obligation and external pressures and the lack of confidence. These things just dissipate when things are going wrong in the relationship, and it has a way of, you know, spreading to everybody else. So, finally, what you want to do is you want to take some action to stop behaving in self-defeating ways. And there's a lot of us that behave in these ways. And these waves usually come out as we argue with our most significant other. You want to write down and concentrate on these things that are negative actions. And then you want to set aside a time or a particular period where you can self-enhance yourself. In other words, all right, what can I do instead of becoming a procrastinator? How can I really work on making my life work for me? That's a good thing. Now, I'm not going to get too much into self-esteem other than that. All I need to say to you is that there will be times in your life when life itself will try to pull you down. You have got to work on good behavior within the relationship to love each other. You got to work on it. Even if you're professionals, it doesn't make any difference whether you're professionals or non-professional. What I'm talking about is a positive husband and wife relationship. See, because if you've been raised in a single parent home, without a model of this type of interaction, then you're going to have problems. Sometimes when you're raised in a single parent home and you're raised just by a mom, and I've said it on some of these counseling sessions, a mom that hates men. See, because if your dad abandoned the family and abandoned his wife, your mom, then you're going to adopt her disposition. When you're a young man, especially a young black man, and you adopt this disposition, its behavior is really terrible. You don't know why you're acting like a woman, but you are. You are responding as a female to situations where a man would not respond like that because you haven't grown up in a situation where you have not witnessed angry, hostile, verbal, and physical exchanges of their female inner reaction. Some black men and women grow up in two-parent homes that have intact families. They have initially reported good relationships between their parents, and then maybe they've later admitted that they've only had a vague sense of the parents' couple's interactions, because a lot of the interactions with the children takes place outside of the company of the parents themselves. And if you talk to sometimes many older black couples, they are, very child focused, and they do not, in fact, have much of a couple relationship because they're too busy in raising the children, and they don't even have a good, wholesome relationship with each other. I think my grandparents like that were like that on my mother's side. You know, my grandmother on my mother's side was so focused upon raising her children and the grandchildren, I remember that she would just ignore my grandfather. But if you were raised by two adults that model love, if you saw them putting trust in one another and understanding or supporting each other, then the exercises that I'm talking about right now would be seen as a positive relationship. Have an example here in the text. It says that when you look at something, when you witness violent episodes between men and women, as a teenager, this young lad was filled with anger. But as a young adult, he began to understand that he could learn from these negative experiences. He didn't have to give up all hope of loving. But unfortunately, in certain relationships, lot of people give up all hopes of loving and normative relationships because of this embattled relationship that you have with the other person. So there has to be support from friends. And this young man began to internalize feelings of self-respect as well as respect for others in a time when he opened up to the possibility of relating to women in positive ways. So when he grows up and he gets married, his marriage is a healthy one because he dealt with that negative behavior. You got to deal with it. It happens in many of our lives. I don't think that any of us grow up with silver spoons in our mouths that everything goes just right. Do you remember it was years ago there were two brothers called the Menendez brothers who killed their parents while they were eating sherbet ice cream in Beverly Hills, California. Just got the shotgun and blew their brains out, just blew their chest open. These boys had some serious problems. Good-looking young boys, too, rich, was to inherit the money, kill their parents. Why? Because the parents molested them. They never got over it, and they took that thing to the next stage. So one of the techniques that works for a lot of people was to surround himself with a network of people who genuinely cared about him. Now, that's one way that you can help yourself. Instead of putting yourself around negative people, around negative influences, I think it's very important for you to do that. You know, it's interesting. I was talking with a friend of mine, and I didn't know how to take his statement. He said that when he's out with me and I'm out in public, that I sound like Mr. Rogers on crack. That's what he said. He says, I said, what? He said, you sound like Mr. Rogers on crack when I'm out in the neighborhood and I talk and I said, what do you mean? He says, well, it's the way that black people look at you, John, when you communicate and when you talk. And I finally got what my friend was saying. My friend was saying is that my language and my behavior and my attitude was so abnormal to people that are abnormal. You see what I'm talking about? You can grow up and have the proper, and I really understand it. I want you guys to hear me on this, because people that don't know how the world works, people that don't know how to govern their lives, people that have not had the proper role models, people that have not been reared appropriately, and people that won't admit to themselves that they have not been brought up by parents that knew what the heck they were talking about, sees everybody else is weird and strange if you run into someone that knows how to do life. This particular friend of mine, and a very good friend of mine, I might add too, tells me a lot that what I need to do is I need to slip into the deep darkness in order to discover what life is. And what I find myself doing is I find myself nurturing a particular network that consists of friends with whom I as an individual can exchange joy and sadness, anger and happiness and excitement and comfort within my African-American community without looking like I'm in a drunken stupor trying to figure out what life is all about. And I'm telling you that there are so many of us in our community that are like that. And it's sad because you were raised with no proper role models. I'm just giving it to you like it is. I'm not saying that I'm better than you. I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone. But I refuse to go backwards. You know, I remember when Darth Vader was saying to his estranged son, Luke, and he says, come on, Luke, and join me on the dark side. You see how difficult it was for Luke to fight it? Because, you know, you kind of want to go there, but you know that you can't go there. So, all right, when I'm out with people, with a lot of people in my community, I sound like Mr. Rogers on crack. What he was trying to say is that you're a black man sounding like a white man that's out of his mind. That's because I was raised with moral character. I believe in it. I was highly educated in that kind of a world, and I believe in that kind of a stabilization. I don't believe in see, I can't watch I can't watch certain TV programs and feel happy about them when I see black people basically out of their minds, selling dope, killing each other, having sex for no reason, then excreting body fluids, whatever that is. That to me is an animalistic life. And I believe that that life is contrary to the Christian concept of how to live. There are certain African-American Christians that think that it is a normative thing. Well, I got to tell you here, for African-Americans, it's been a crucial component of our emotional ability not to survive. And so if I appear to be like a black man on crack when I talk with you, that should be an evident token that you are pretty well messed up, just pretty well. Because we are not, there's no such thing as ghetto life, okay? There's no such thing as gangster love. you know, I was speaking to Bob Klink and Mark Ramsey here in the studio last night, and we were looking at a segment of the DVD, The Planet Earth, and I think that it's a wonderful DVD to purchase and to show to your children. It is just a wonderful piece of work. And we were looking at something, and we were looking at an animal that was in the Peruvian jungles, one of the smallest deers that ever existed. And I asked Dr. Klink, being an educated man that he is and a medical doctor, and I says, "Doc, have you ever seen this animal before?" And he said, "No, as a matter of fact, I never have." And we three guys, Christian guys, were looking at that. And it dawned upon me, and I listened to what I said. I said, "You know what, I want to tell you something." I said, "Tupac Shakur died at 25 years old, and it's obvious that he's never seen anything like that." And I said, "That young man died knowing nothing, absolutely nothing but debauchery and pure filthiness. His intellect was filthily driven. His lifestyle was a toilet. He actually, though he wrote some poetic things in some of his music in his younger days, when he was a young lad, but when he grew up and sin took its hold on him, nothing. That's what sin will do to you. Sin will wear you out and then send you to hell. And when he died, he knew absolutely nothing of this beautiful planet that we live on. I am determined to share with my grandchildren the joys and the wonders of living a life in this world in beauty. And God forbid if I would ever think of my grandchildren growing up in the squalor of filth and having parents that will not lead by a perfect example, an illustration of life. You know, you go around and ask the average person, "Do you feel valued and appreciated as a person?" And if that person says no, then their parents have failed. And I'm telling you, unless that very important element is taken care of and addressed when you are a young person, you will grow up in a dysfunctional disposition. Now, you may deny it, but you're dysfunctional. Now, how can you find the role model way of identifying yourself within a relationship that someone may admire you. How do you know that the couple that has helped you is the proper kind of role model for you to model your family relationship or maybe even your marriage after? Here again, be careful because certain people are not fair. Certain people will not live in a fair life. Here's some of the clues that alert you to a positive dynamic. This couple sets aside time for to be alone with each other. If you're looking for a couple to exemplify what a good role model is, they spend time with each other. They sit down, they build up each other. This couple demonstrates mutual respect by saying please and thank you to each other, and by complimenting each other in public. That's why my friend said that I sounded like Mr. Rogers on crack. Because when I go out with my friend, and I knew exactly what I'm talking about, I go out, I have elongated conversations with people. I says, thank you very much. I say, when I go in one place of business, you know, certain people don't take the time to do things like that. And the people look at me like I'm crazy because no one that goes in that business ever takes time and shares anything with them. It's just, give me this, give me that, your thanks, and walk away. But of course I sound weird because it's an intelligent thing to do. When you go around other people, you appreciate their company. And you need to allow your children to see you having those conversations. A person that exemplifies a good role model attributes, both partners appear relaxed together and they laugh easily. Now that's a good one. That's me. I guess that's why I look like Mr. Rogers on crack, because I'm laughing all the time when I'm out. I don't go out in public and I'm frustrated. When the police drives up next to me, I don't freeze up and go into a comatose relationship. I have nothing to fear. Both partners speak positively to others about their mate. Whenever I would go out and Lucy and I would go and get something to eat, I would say, now, let me tell you about my wife's cooking. I'm telling you, she's the best cook in the world. Lucy would say, oh, John. And I said, oh, no. When Lucy makes lumpia and things like that, especially Filipino food and pancit and stuff like that, even though the people are not interested in that. See, I guess I sound like Mr. Rogers on crack. Because most couples that I know in the community, when they go out, all the dude does is grumble and moan. Doesn't have a vocabulary that can fit the, well, let me leave that alone. Neither partner constantly interrupts the other. In other words, while I'm telling people about my wife's good cooking, she never interrupted when I was talking with someone else. Have you seen those couples? They're always cutting each other off. Now, you lying. You don't know that. And you, man, this is the most ignorant thing that I've ever seen in my life from people. When you love someone, you don't do that. But I guess there again, I look like, I sound like Mr. Rogers on crack. Because I don't interrupt. I never interrupted my wife when she was talking. Why would I interrupt her? Because you know what that is? That shows that you've grown up in an unstable environment. You're trying to get your two cents in somewhere. If you want to look for the kind of couple that really compliments someone is being married, neither partner allows each other to speak negatively about their mate. In other words, they said, no, we're not going to talk about that out in public. You know, when somebody asks the lady, well, what are some of the things that you don't like about your husband? You know what she says? She says, well, I'd rather not go into that. There are some things that he drives me up the wall, but really that's none of your business. See, that's because she loves him and respects him, and she doesn't want to in any way turn him off. Do you know women that just start running their mouths? The couple that's a great role model for you can disagree in public while making clear that they still respect each other's opinions. Man, I see so many people disagree with each other in public,